social studies, Casey O'Brien. Casey, Mr. S said, is a very hard worker. She's very creative in her relationships and her class projects and is always willing to participate in class discussions. She does many things great outside of the school, yet being able to maintain a very high class average. I hope she knows she deserves it.
Wow.
That's the 11th grade, Fernanda Fox. I don't believe she's among us. But Fernanda is known as a student who's a hard worker, always does her assignments done. She's polite and willing to help others, and that comes from Mr. Pollinger himself.
Excellent.
Last one is Hunter Colthart, who is a senior. I don't believe he's here. I'm sure he's got bigger and better things he's moving on to. Works hard. He plays sports every season, never complains. He's got fewer than 10 absenteeisms, conscientious, and does not suffer from senioritis. And that's from Mrs. Perry.
And we have Mr. Lynch from the intermediate school.
All right, our first student was nominated by Ms. LaPietra for ELA. And it's Michaela Milano, and her thoughts on Michaela, she said, not only is Michaela a conscientious and diligent student, but she is an enthusiastic person who approaches assignments and class discussions with excitement and genuine interest. Michaela is also considerate and respectful of others, and is always willing to lend a helping hand. Mrs. Garanto, who is here, nominated two students. She nominated Lauren Palmer and Olivia Farnham. Both of the girls display a great work ethic and are actively engaged in their learning. Their participation is also excellent. Many of their comments and observations during book discussion are valuable to the learning of others. On one of our recent projects, they both knocked it out of the park. They care about their work, and it shows and inspires their peers.
No, I'm going to let Mrs. Garanto hand it to you because. Thank you, ladies, and thank you for being here. All right, now you can talk.
Our next student was nominated by Mrs. Rocanova for ELA, Brennan Laundrie. Brennan is a hardworking student and has made great progress this year. He completes his homework, participates in class, and learns from his mistakes. During writing, Brennan will remember specific strategies and tips to add relevant details to his essay or story. Brennan is a pleasure to teach.
Congratulations, nice work.
Next student is Emily Thompson, who was nominated by Denise Conway for social studies. Emily is focused, she's diligent, and she is also a very quiet reader. After a rocky beginning to the school year, Emily has completely turned herself around and is now a model student for all of her peers to look up to. Karen Zimpolteka was nominated also by Mrs. Conway, but for ELA. Karen is an outstanding student who juggles band and academics with grace. Karen can be counted on to work hard and is a positive example for all EBIS students. After each class, before she leaves the room, she says, "Thank you, Mrs. Conway." Dylan Ward was nominated by Bill Brazlin for social studies. He says Dylan is a hard worker who is also very involved in classroom discussions. He is a model student and does high quality work. And our next two students, we have two teachers who would like to say a few words.
Oh, excellent.
I'd like to congratulate Gwen Messina on being chosen as our Student of the Month for the fifth grade ELA. Gwen is an extremely hardworking student who is always positive, conscientious, constructive, and eager to learn. Her enthusiasm and creativity are contagious within her English language arts classroom. Whether Gwen is expressing her thoughts on why it's just wrong for Mother Nature to let us snow in April, or sharing a list of various things an elephant should remember to do, or describing the bravery and courage of one man, Jackie Robinson, in standing up for human rights, Gwen always puts forth her best effort. It has been a true pleasure and honor to work with Gwen this year. Congratulations, Gwen.
Jenna Garfalo. So I'd like to thank you. It means a lot that you're here. And a special thank you to the parents, because without you, I'm sure your students carry this through into the home, and your efforts and what you do, your tutelage means a lot to us here. So thank you. Yeah, you're welcome to stay and enjoy our meeting. It's very eventful. Or you're welcome to go home and get some homework and some studying due. This evening we have a number of other presentations and special occasions we'd like to celebrate. So with that, I'd like to move into... Do we have another one?
Ray.
Yeah, it's on the superintendent. I'm going to amend that. Is that okay? So we're going to celebrate our mock court students and advisor. I will tell you this. This is a program that, for a small school district to come in second place by a few points where the odds were stacked against us.
One quick thing. When they're taking pictures outside, it's
Is something special. Mr. Pollinger works closely with these students. And we've had a very successful year, so I'll turn it over to Mr. Pollinger, who can speak a little bit about the program and about the students.
Right. Well, the mock court competition is put on by the New York State Bar Association, and they do it every year. I actually did mock court 20 years ago when I was in high school with my favorite teacher, Mrs. Reagan, who was a social studies teacher at the time. So that's where my, so I sort of caught the mock court bug when I was in high school and sort of took it over from Mr. Pollock. About 3 years ago. So this is my third year as advisor for mock court. One of the judges, our last judge actually, said something that really resonated with me and sort of resonated with a lot of the people that were on mock court. He said, when you ever want to get something done, you always give it to the busiest person. And so the reason why he said that is because all of our mock court members have other commitments. So they're either on sports, they're doing the play, they're doing some other after school activity. International Relations Club is one of them too. And so they sort of juggle, and we meet probably maybe once a week, or we meet when we can. And through that little, you know, interaction that we have after school and the little coaching that I gave, it was really them that put it all together and they came in second in the county. I mean, they beat Red Hook, they beat Poughkeepsie, they beat all these large schools, Spackenkill, Beacon, Lourdes, beat them all out to go to the finals with Pine Plains. And when I tell you that it was very few points that they lost by, which was probably 2 points, I can say that. I wasn't supposed to reveal that. So it was a pretty close, and the judge even said that it was very close. And every time that a judge did a competition or a case between our school and another school, always remarked on how professional our students are. We always got 10 out of 10 for professionalism, and actually always made the comment that our kids at Weebatuck are better than any lawyer that they've encountered in their lives. I don't know if they're blowing smoke. They really mean it, but it made us feel like they meant it at the time. So they deserve a round of applause, and they deserve it. Important things. We have a couple of seniors, Cassandra Lopane, who got, according to the judge, who was Judge Dolan, who did our final court case, named her the lawyer of the match. So it was a pretty big honor for Cassandra.
Congratulations.
Brown Nan Wong, who is also a senior and just recently learned a couple of days ago from the Dutchess County Bar Association that she won a prestigious prize known as the Bierman Prize. And she's one of three, they were all girls, one of three in the county that won this prize. And it's given to, the other two were from Pine Plains and from Lourdes. And it's given to the most outstanding mock court participant for the year of 2016. So she'll be going to a special luncheon in Poughkeepsie and also will receive $250. Wow.
Why don't you all come up and come up to the front so you can be recognized?
Boy, they're shy now. They're never that shy.
I have a seat right up in the front.
And our two other relatively new members, but really took to being a participant and did very well and always received, you know, fours out of fives or fives out of fives. Tremendous. Put forth a tremendous effort. And that's Abigail Hoke and Sarah Mealy. Other members too who could make it tonight, but together, I mean, this is the third year that we've had a team, and I think this is the first year that we've had a boy on the team, so we've always had all three teams, but we did very well, and they should be congratulated.
Congratulations. Mr. Pollinger and ladies, I hope you realize that how you represent the school district means so much to this community, and to have accolades such as what you have accomplished, you can't put a price tag on that, and it's, again, commitment and hard work, so we thank you so much for that, so thank you.
Congrats.
So, board, if we may, move to student reports, and then we'll come back to Jen's presentation, if
sure.
That's okay with the board. Okay. Students.
So, there was a blood drive held this past month, well, I guess this month, but it was in the past, held at the school, and members of Honor Society, including Cassandra, helped out at it. There's a 5K run that will be happening in the upcoming weeks. I believe it's in Amenia on the Merrill Trail to benefit the backpack program at our school. And the seniors, they have to pick which school they will be attending next year if they choose to go to college by May 1st. So, and there's also a proposal for the senior class to have either a senior ball or a single day trip to Six Flags in New Jersey, and it's going through the class to see which one people want to do right now. So.
Thank you, Cassandra.
Regarding music and the arts, we have the 6th through 8th grade spring concert is May 4th, and then NISMA Solo Fest is next weekend, which is very exciting for a lot of students. They go in and they perform a piece in front of judges, and then they do some sight reading, and they get a score, and it determines if they're going to get into all county or all state the next year. And then we have our high school concert, which is May 11th, and NISMA majors near the end of May for chorus. It's an exciting month.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Varsity baseball is currently 4-6. We're not playing our best ball, but we have 6 games to turn around the season. And our senior night is May 7th under the lights against Biggs. Softball is currently 0-5, but their record doesn't really reflect how their season is going. They've improved a lot more compared to last year.
Play hard.
A couple games by 1 run, 2 runs. Mm-hmm. In there, yeah.
Good. And does that conclude the student reports? Okay, well, thank you all three very much, and you're welcome to stay. And if you have other engagements or other matters to attend to, that is fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Okay. Thanks. So I think we'll circle back now to a presentation by Jen Chason, principal of the high school, on the community service initiative.
Yeah, and before Jen speaks, one of the goals and initiatives that we spoke about earlier in the year, one of the number of them, was to somehow put in place a community service requirement for our students. Because we all know that, you know, the studies and what we learn in schools is so important. But to be better citizens, and that's part of our goal, which is the future goals of what we have right now, is also to make a well-rounded student that's contributing to society and especially our local community. Not something that can be done overnight. And to do it within the 7 or 8 months that we gave the high school and their staff the charge, I'm very happy and pleased with what the outcome is, and it's only going to grow each year from here, I believe. So with that, Jen and Henry both did a lot of work on this, and I'd like to thank Jen for that hard work and Henry, and I'll turn it over to Jen.
Excellent. When we initially got the charge to really do some research in this, I'll be honest, it was, wow, we're a rural community, and I don't really think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for our students. I'll be honest, I was entirely wrong. When we put out an email asking, does anybody know of any companies or any programs or commit at looking for someone to do some hours student-wise, we had an overwhelming support, just incredible. Betsy will be talking a little bit about the program ideas, as well as Tara from the WASAIC project. They've been instrumental in helping us getting this rolling. And really doing a lot of the research on it. We noticed through, you know, talking to other districts such as Dover, Pine Plains, Pawling, I think our goal was to learn from how come those community service programs did not have continuity. They didn't have the stability that we wanted. So we all agreed, let's start small and let's grow upon this. So we set a 10-hour requirement beginning July 1st all the way to April 30th of their senior year. And it's only a minimum of 10 hours. Start small, so we can make sure our forms are accurate, that we have everything we need, and really get the message out to our students. Our guidance department was very intricate in that, and during their junior meetings, they spoke to parents and the students to let them know this was coming down as a graduation requirement. And it was really highly well received. Parents are very excited. For example, James Wheeler's already started walking across the street into Mr. Hart's classroom. He's reading to students every day. Right there, I just have one student who's very motivated. And we're talking about how it really helps. There's a lot of benefits: job readiness, empathy, social skills, maturity, accountability, you know, just organization. All these great things. So that's just a little bit of a background of how this team kind of came together. And I'll let Betsy and Tara talk about some of the possible placements within our community that there are out there.
Great. Thank you. Well, I'm Betsy McCall, and I work at the Northeast Community Center. And I think maybe some of you all know me from doing the jobs program. So I'm going to just...
Visuals, by the way, we have lots of
community, yeah, organizing.
So, yeah, I work with Weavetuck students all the time. Last year we employed 34 students out in a job in the community. That's one part of what I do. Another part of what I do is Teen Team, which is our leadership program, which meets on the weekend. So there's a recreational, educational, as well as a community service component already in place with that program. So we serve about 20 Weavetuck students through that program already. So I feel like we're kind of already set up and ready to go with being able to offer different community service opportunities. So just a few of the things that they might do. Community gardening is a big one. We could do that here at the Weavetuck School Garden. We could do it at the community center. We could do it all over the county, really, in different areas. We bake pies every year for the Millerton Food Pantry. So we bake, now we're up to about 70 pies every Thanksgiving for that community service effort. We go to Poughkeepsie and we cook meals at the lunchbox. We also, we're having a town cleanup day this Saturday. That's another way for teens to get involved. Make gingerbread houses and throw the community a gingerbread decorating party so teens can get involved and support our efforts. And that way, those are just a few of the projects. We do alternative spring break. We participate in a number of events in the community. It could be Amenia, Millerton, Pine Plains, you know, Wasaic, kind of all over the northeastern part of the county. From there, we now have a youth council. So Teen Team and the interns can, they're both eligible to participate in our youth council, which meets on a monthly basis, where teens are really learning how, for the community, how their voices can be heard. So this is really about civic engagement and, you know, learning how our local government works, going to town and village meetings, and so I think that connects nicely with the mission of the community service requirement that Weavetuck's pursuing. And I think Tara was gonna talk about Wasaic Project.
Yeah, I mean, so Wasaic Project is a smaller arts organization, but I also think of us as sort of a cultural institution. We now have artists there, both international and predominantly from New York City, but not always. We have some from Korea, Ireland. So we're primarily an arts organization, but we also have a writing program, and we also have a family residency, artist residency program, which is really unique. So I feel like we sort of have a family vibe as opposed to other artist residency programs. So my role as education director is that we have a program at Weavetuck. We partner, we're in the classroom with Craig Wickwire, which is awesome. And we also have a program at Salisbury Central and Cornwall Consolidated. We have a mural arts program, which is very small, at the NECC. We have, you know, summer intensive programs. But so what we would really like to work with this particular initiative would be to grow and develop our teen internship program. And I could sort of make a space for that. Right now, our interns are paid through the NECC, but we would love to grow and expand, and just maybe I could just block out a special day that, because it's only 10 hours, kids could sort of cycle in and out as necessary, but just to keep it organized, it could just be like one day a week. So that would be at the internship program, which I could talk more about what they would be doing. But also we have open hours on Saturday from 4 to 6. So I run a community arts center. It's a family arts-oriented center. And that's from 4 to 6, but I also, it takes me sometimes like 2 hours to set up. So it could probably, and like, use like an hour to clean up. So there is like a longer sort of time block. Every Saturday we have that. And I would love a teen assistant. So in that capacity, they would, you know, sort of help me guiding younger youth in the projects and keeping things organized. They would learn teaching skills, you know, different arts activities. What else would I want to say about that?
You have the festival
where they could...
This is in the summer,
in
though.
The summer.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of programming in the summer, so that's a little bit of a different thing since this is going to end up the school year. Another thing I wanted to talk about was getting teens there can be difficult. So I would love to do something. Betsy and I were talking about maybe 1 hour a week here at the school, after school, which could be like arts in the community, and students could sort of talk about which communities are in need, or that they, you know, or that they want to connect with in some way, and then we could sort of create like an art dialogue around those communities, like, or an issue. For example, like bullying, we could make posters, or if it's about the environment, we could submit like posters to environmental organizations. There's different things I've been looking into, but basically it would be something at the school that could be sort of involved in community service or social issues. I'm probably forgetting a lot of different things, but I guess it's fine. Yeah.
Henry's going to show, we're going to put a link on the website, which will include the brochure, some of the forms, and just kind of the mission of what the community service is going to look like, so students have access to it even at home.
So if you want to quickly take a look, it wouldn't take less than 5 minutes, just what I threw together. It's mainly the information that you find in the brochure, but it looks visually appealing. And just talk about a couple of features that are pretty nice to look at. Don't worry. Yeah. Thank you. So I just put together Weebly, and apparently I've become a pro at Weebly because it took me less than an hour to put all this information together. So I'll just quickly show you what it looks like. What's interesting about Weebly too is that you have what's known as a responsive website. So if you have a smartphone and you look up and you put in the URL for this community service website, I'll show you this. There's a little link about opportunities. I'll show you that right now. So if you look at opportunities and you look at this link on your smartphone, these are all the ones in green are hyperlinked. But on your smartphone, if you look this up, a teen can look it up, look at the resources, and just click the number, and it'll automatically call the center. So you don't even have to dial anything.
That's awesome.
And so all you have to do is push it. So if you're really interested in going to the Northeast Community Center, push the 518 number, and you're instantly connected with Betsy. So it's pretty responsive. I thought that was a pretty neat thing. And another thing that Jen didn't mention, which I thought was rather interesting, is that this idea that there are people who are so willing to help, and one of them, interestingly enough, was at the Sharon Audubon.
Oh, yeah.
Her name was Sunny. And she was like chomping at the bit. Apparently she's been waiting so long for some school to contact her, because they've been waiting for students to do wildlife rehabilitation, and they do a lot of stuff with birds. So they have, you know, 2 or 3 bald eagles at their center, so they're really looking for students to come and volunteer. So they've been very eager to find somebody to partner with. So they're very excited, and we're excited to have them. So this is just a quick put together, the requirements, what are the requirements, the community service requirements. And another thing that's very important, especially for students, are the forms. So this is a one-stop place. So they can click here, and they have both forms. It takes a while to load because they're script documents. But there's an application for approval. Each community service participation, each community service has to be approved by the principal, by Mrs. Jason, and they have to keep track of their own timesheet, to keep track of their own time, and it has to be signed off on. And that's the student's responsibility. If you don't do it, you don't get credit for the hours. And then one other thing that I'd like to, and we've had this discussion back and forth, I think it's really valuable. If you look at the tab that says Warriors in the Community, what we would like to happen, this is the English teacher in me, I would like to see, and we would like to see, every senior blog about their experience. So if they commit, you know, to an hour, they fulfill an hour, they're really excited about it, instead of just writing it down on a piece of paper, moving on to the next activity, write about it. And there's the buy-in, hopefully, that maybe, you know, the juniors that are coming into their senior year will see that, you know, they actually had a good time fulfilling those 10 hours. It doesn't seem like a lot, but we have a lot of apathy, and if you show them that, you know, people are excited about doing it, I think you would get a lot of people excited. So this is just a general website hopefully will be updated, or will be updated as soon as we implement. But it's July 1st to April 30th, so they can do the Wasake Festival in August, so they do have an opportunity over the summer.
Cool.
Any questions for anybody?
No.
Did you get any response from the media? Because they have a town cleanup day too. And I said,
No, we didn't even hear about it. So no, was it through the town of Amelia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to reach out to them.
Okay.
I'm so like.
So I think this is awesome, and thank you so much for doing this. It's amazing. I see that we're doing 10 hours for seniors this year. Is the plan going forward then to expand it to maybe more than 10 hours, starting in freshman year, maybe something like that?
Yes, that is the ultimate goal. Apparently, was speaking to John Rock, he would come to a Rock Nova, many of our meetings. They had a very solid community service program years ago that was carried. I think it was they started in 7th and went all the way to 12th.
Yeah, that's
The end goal in mind.
Right.
You know, trying to get the management piece and really making sure that our we've got plenty of opportunities, whether it's out of district, we've got even many things on campus that they can do during the day to get these community service hours. So yes, the goal in the long run is let's get big.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think too, it's important for them to realize that they're not doing frivolous things. Like they're not, you know, I don't know, doing stuff like babysitting their siblings. That's not the community service. And we want them to get a general sense of what community service is and really how valuable it is that they're performing that. And if they can't internalize that, then it's not useful for them.
It's going to be important for the newspapers to highlight this so that it does get out there and someone, a business owner reading this may say, oh, wow, you know what? I'd love to take advantage of that.
We can
out.
Add. That's a nice part. With the webpage and the brochure, we can just keep adding more and more opportunities on here.
So we'll work with Lizette on that. The other part is it's going to need a board action, and we'll have the attorneys draw something up for us, that we're going to require this as a graduate requirement. If you don't meet it, you're falling short in your graduate requirements.
I mean, it's only 10 hours. I mean, that's
for now.
For now.
And we'll continue to grow.
Yeah, I have a question, too. So how do I get started? It's simple, follow these steps. Boom, find a placement. So does that mean the student gets on the phone and calls, and maybe is there a script for them, or you know they have some training in what
idea.
To say, and you know like we already so we know that the people on the other end of the phone are going to know why they called and they're going to welcome the call, but maybe just for our kids,
you might want to put on the link. A mock type of discussion between you and a possible employer or a possible replacement. I know my 16-year-old can definitely use that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because that's another key piece of this, too, is being able to
go out
there and advocate for themselves that, hey, I'm good for this position.
And if they say it's not going to cost you anything quickly, they're probably likely to get more of a response.
Yeah. So let's think about that. If we can have that.
Great.
Question.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. The energy was just amazing.
Is there, are there any cons that we should know about? Are there any concerns? Are there...
I'll be honest, I can't think of one as of right now. I mean, I think we really went through like a Q&A session of what could be the downside of this. The support here, the teachers are aware, guidance department's been talking to students. It hasn't been something that's been done quietly. We've been very excited about it.
And everyone who has approached us with opportunities, there's the Episcopal Church in Amelia, the one, also dying to have somebody help. So that everyone that's come has been very positive, and we've kept it very positive. I don't think we've ever had anything negative said about them. And we presented it to our juniors, and there's never been a parent that said anything negative about the requirement either. So.
Two things Cynthia just pointed out, and she's quite correct. If there's any attached liability, we're going to need to discuss with attorneys whether the school will step in and provide such things, although if it's already an organization or a nonprofit, they'll have their own liability. We just need a copy of it. And honestly, I mean, my concern is since staff members are going to have to approve the possibility of someone getting involved in a placement that might not be appropriate or present any kind of danger to them, I don't think we have to worry about. because they have to get prior approval. If we make sure that they know that, then you can steer people away from something where, you know, where there could be any sort of problem issue. And one other personal thing I have to say, you're right that babysitting your siblings shouldn't count, but I wouldn't call it frivolous. It's just a personal, you'll appreciate that later when Mary Rose starts.
So thank you so much for taking this all on and getting this rolling. We're really excited about it.
Thank you. Our special education handbook, Ms. McEnroe, is ill today, so we'll have her present for the next week.
Public comment. Do we have anybody signed up for public comment? There being no public comment, we are moving to the superintendent's report.
Okay, so I have a couple of items to update the board and the community on. One is remembering that our vote for the budget is May 17th, Tuesday, from 12 o'clock p.m. till 9 o'clock p.m., and that is here at the high school. Our budget has been presented and approved by the board for voting by the public. Currently, right now, it's at a 1.98% levy and a 1.51% budget-to-budget increase. The numbers that are coming in, which are very interesting, Cynthia's been working through them, is that actually the assessment in our townships, especially the biggest townships, which is Northeast, has grown pretty high. So it's about $30 million more than it was last year. And what that means is actually the average tax, so it's not for everybody because it's third, remember, third go up, third stay the same, third go down. The average tax, even though our levy is going up, looks like it's going to be less than what they paid last year. So, but that mean your that might mean your assessment might have gone up. So,
it did.
One half of the other. But at least for as a school district, it's something that again shows that we're budgeting well, that we're spending wisely, and again, it's all about programming. We have some amazing programs that I'm going to touch upon this evening that are in place and in store for next year. First of all, we've had our high school completely trained a team. And the first day of our intermediate school was today, two more trainings, and then elementary starts next month on the PBIS, which is our behavior intervention program. I've been stopping in to a number of the trainings, and both Jen and Eric are here, and I'm sure they would echo that people are excited. Henry's also been part of it. People are excited. People are looking that we're going to have a common expectation, a common language that is going to be pre-K through 12. We have four main, topics that we are going to follow, and everything follows within, which I call three R's, or the new three R's. And they are always to be ready, respectful, responsible, and safe. And then everything that we have, expectations for every area in the school, is going to have those as the topic. So, Jen, Eric, Henry, anything? Well, Eric, Jen, Henry, anything to say?
Just thought the 3 days were rather productive, and again, everyone's been very positive and really moving forward. And we've all been the group that was trained has all been tasked with certain things to get accomplished, and I think we're close to accomplishing that. And so our rollout for the faculty is this Friday, where they'll get an opportunity to look at our behavioral matrix, which takes into account areas within the school as well as bus behavior. So we'll get to look at that and comment on the work that we've done in groups. So really getting the group trained and then having the faculty involved and sort of giving feedback is crucial. And we also have a set of students that we're going to invite to also look at the work that we're doing and see their opinions. So it's pretty exciting times.
That being said, Henry mentioned we had our superintendent's conference day this Friday. If you'd like to attend, please do. Jam-packed with a lot of information, a lot of topics. The first ones will be meeting in the auditorium to, one, update the staff and faculty on our initiatives that we started or have talked about and where they stand. Remember, if I did the mid-year update, we're going to pretty much summarize the end of the year right now, where we stand right now. Great things happen. We have, I don't know if you saw, there was the Chev and Meds that was going on in Dover, Pine Plains, and Amenia. There was a couple of programs that went on where they talked about opiate use and how devastating it can be and how prevalent it is in our areas. We actually worked with the program, and they're going to be doing an hour and a half long presentation to our faculty and staff here on Friday, so that'll be a good thing to give them an update. We're also going to train 20 staff members, or up to 20 staff members, on Narcan, which is the intervention of if there's someone that has overdosed. They're going to be getting kits, and that's something that we're excited about. As Henry said, a lot of PBIS training and discussions, a lot of across the way literacy discussions, K-12. And then the other thing which is important, and it's again another initiative, that pending budget approval by the taxpayers, major impact on our school in the next couple of years, is this Right Reasons technology that we spoke about, this program. We have a tremendous amount of energy right now. In fact, today we rolled out passwords for teachers, and in the morning they were incorrect, even though Henry and Jen were trying them late last night at 11 o'clock sending me texts. How excited they were. This morning, the staff was ready to open up so that they could start doing Regents review and review sessions and assessments, and there was a glitch in it, and I had at least 10 emails by 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and by 8:15, 8:30, it was fixed, and they've all signed in. It's going to have a major impact on the way we instruct, on the way we deliver services and instruction in AIS and in all students. The other exciting part is, as part of the budget, using Right Reasons, we are ready to unveil our summer school credit recovery program. Again, Henry and Jen have worked very closely with Katie and myself in using Right Reasons. And if you remember, what it's going to be is we're going to have students who may be in jeopardy of failing the course be identified. They're going to come in over the summer 2 days a week. Could be 4 days if they've done more subjects. They're going to be working from home in regards to technology on this program, and we're going to have a number of students be able to catch up with direct individualized instruction. We have a number of teachers who are interested and have talked about applying. Great program, and it'll only get better each year, so that's exciting. That's a huge, huge benefit for us, so exciting stuff. Last but not least, I'm going to update the board that we have for a number of years now had a septic problem with out on our field, our baseball field, and you guys, previous board and some of you on that board, had set aside money from reserves in regards to addressing that septic issue. It's been delayed for a number of reasons, I believe mostly architectural and engineering delays, and it's ready to begin. But we have a new director of facilities who's been wonderful, Mr. Anthony D'Amato, and a new engineer and architect in Tetra Tech. And I'm going to let Anthony speak a little bit about a thought he has.
There's just a little bit of concern that the plan that's kind of set in place now may not be completely necessary. We'd like to work with another engineer for a second opinion to see if we can remedy or better the existing system that is there before we move forward with the complete new system. Second opinion, a little bit more economical possibly, so it's something that we want to look into before we give the go-ahead.
Yeah. Tetra Tech and Anthony have come to me and said that they reviewed the plan, both of them have reviewed the plan, and although it may be accurate, they want a second opinion, which is just like a medical procedure, and when you're going to spend up to $500,000 or above $500,000, why not get a second opinion? And it would be a minimal cost that we can draw from the existing money that's there, $5,000-$6,000 just to do another test, and have Anthony and Tetra Tech, along with the report that was done before, to sit and look at it. And I think it makes complete sense.
So if I can jump in, we were just briefed, the facilities committee was briefed on this immediately prior to this meeting. Phil, would you like to speak about the second opinion and
I think it'd be a great idea to have a second opinion, especially the amount of money we're talking about. We were up to 500,000 originally, now it could go to 650. I think the second opinion may be a great idea. You know, I'm for it.
How long can it potentially delay the project?
Well,
this has been delayed for years.
Tetra Tech, who's our engineer that we're working with, has clearly spelled out to us that the test may reveal exactly what the original test and the proposal of the plan was, or the plan was to remedy. They believe that that plan also has some flaws in it. For example, I'm not this type of Anthony to speak more, something about a timed flush of the system where the plan, that which they believe would be important, our plan currently doesn't have that, so that's a concern of our engineers. So it may reveal that it may need that same type of remedy to build a new one, but without giving one more look at it, it would be, it could be a major savings loss. But it would delay the project, absolutely. It would delay it.
I gotta tell you, because of course this is a septic system that's 10 years old and started failing before 10 years. And largely because, in my opinion, totally substandard work and collusion between someone who okayed a test that they never should have okayed. I'm very nervous about the idea at this point, saying, well, we don't really need to do that, it'll be okay, it'll only be $250,000 instead, and if after the $250,000, 5 years down the road, we find ourselves with another $500,000 project, I want to feel very, very comfortable with whatever somebody tells us.
Yeah, the issue has been the backfill and the backfill?
This is just a perk test.
Yeah, we're going to do the perk test, and if that is truly the issue, then Tetra Tech is saying there is maybe a better design, maybe the same amount of money, maybe less. There might be a better design which will last us, will be more appropriate for us, is what I've been saying. So,
they used the wrong film. They used essentially sand to fill it. And they should have used Dankron gravel. And of course, so the stuff goes down and stops dead because it won't go through it. And it's okay. Let's hear the proposal.
Let's see what
kind of
perk
test they're going to do.
And so let's find out the results of the perk test, and then take it from there and see if that is in fact the main issue, or if there's other issues that go along with it.
And in all of them, because of course we've shut down some of them, so the perk test might actually work now after we haven't used it for God knows how long. But the initial perk test that was done, it failed. Every single one of the fields failed, and they then went to a lower depth and shorter time period, and miraculously, the Board of Health said fine. So, you know, I just...
Let's see what Bill and
I'm all for saving money, but
Your staff is still monitoring water usage, right? Daily water usage?
Yes. Yes. I don't have exact numbers, but they're still being monitored and we've had no issue with the remaining 10 that are in use.
I feel comfortable before we spend that kind of money. So.
Is there information from the Dutchess County Health Department based on the original plan? Because they lied. They didn't do what they said they were going to do in the original plan.
I think the best bet is to bring Bill Wispow and Tetra Tech in here to explain to us so that we can get an update. But what we're asking for right now is to consider it, which will be telling Morris Associates and Ray Jorkowski, who's our engineer, hold off for a little while until we come up with a second. And that's what we're asking for. Okay.
Did you want to say anything, Nikki?
Just out of curiosity, what kind of time frame, you say that this could delay us a little bit. Obviously, if it's a more appropriate method that we're going to use, or to be honest, I don't really understand the whole thing.
Exactly.
But if there's a better way to do it, great. But what kind of time frame are we talking about?
If everything went as according to plan, since I've come on board, so before that I can't speak, I've come on board, we were supposed to be having it completed right now and playing on that field out there.
Right, but then we had our other issues.
We had an issue which to me was still could have been done, but separate discussion. I don't know the answer. If the PERC test can be done in the next week or two, or three, and be brought in, and then Tetra Tech and Anthony can sit and propose to the board that, okay, definitely is that issue, but here's a different way to address it in a way that we feel more comfortable with, it may delay it significantly, or we go with what's out there and it may not delay it at all. So I think we just need more information.
Yeah. So the PERC test isn't going to cause a delay one way or the other?
It should not, no.
Okay.
No. Unless we decide that we don't want the design that's out there.
Okay, I got you. So that would be the delay if we choose to do something different.
Yes.
Okay.
And we'd delay it over 3 years.
Right.
And that would be based on something that they find.
Yes.
Okay.
So it would be worth the delay.
Yeah, I guess it would.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is all I have.
So, which puts us at the consent agenda?
Yes.
Is there anything anybody wants to pull from the consent agenda?
902.
Yes. What else?
801.
801. It's not on there.
It's not on there.
Is there anything else? And there being nothing else, I'm looking for a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended.
So,
thank you, Chris. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Judy. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda as amended?
Aye.
All of us. Okay. Thank you. And that puts us at 7:02. Do we have delegations?
There are none.
Thank you. And 8:01, I'm looking for a motion. I'm sorry, I'm just waiting for it to load now. this is Candy's resignation for the purpose of retirement. I'm looking for a motion to accept Candy Swart's resignation. Bill, is there a second?
Second.
Nikki, thank you. Discussion, Chris.
Just to add, you know, with great thanks and well wishes.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
No, that's staggering. This is a long time employee. So
39 years.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's remarkable.
No more buses.
Thank you.
Wow, and she wants to come back and sub.
She said she was going to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes, with our gratitude and best wishes.
Definitely.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That was everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving down. We are on 9:02. Do I hear a motion to approve the award of the external auditor, or to award? I don't want to say this. I'm trying to open it. Looking for a motion on 9:02.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Nikki. Discussion, Judy.
The only thing I wanted to bring up is that I was upset when I looked at last year's reorg meeting to realize that we had not, in fact, appointed an external auditor.
And we needed an RFP. It was the fifth year when I spoke to them. They said, we can't. Before we sign up for a date, we need to do an RFP and go back out.
So. Right, but we didn't even appoint them for this year. So we need
well,
not
this starts
to make,
with the 15-16.
I know, but that's retroactive. They've done the work. It's so I think we need to be, and believe me, I include myself in that because usually I go through these things, but obviously it's not that fine. We just need to try to make sure we dot our I's and cross our T's.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for one, have been very pleased with the firm. I think they do a good job for us. And at a reasonable price, so I'm happy to reappoint them.
Likewise. Further discussion? All right. All those in favor of approving the award to Sickler, Allen, whoever they are.
If I can, interrupt for one second, because Cynthia just pointed out that in fact they have not done anything this year yet.
For 15, 16.
What, 14, 15, right.
So, my bad, never mind.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. So, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. Thank you. And I seem to have lost my internet connection. So we are on 10:02. Approval of the BOCES administrative budget. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Judy. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Nikki. Discussion. Let it rip. Come on.
We've said it before. I, as a board member, don't feel as though we get all that we should be getting for our participation in BOCES.
I'm hopeful that with a new superintendent at the BOCES that will improve, and we did at least make use of their services once this year.
Yes.
Yes.
So.
And
good.
Just as a reminder, they were going to come and present on the budget,
yes.
And
yes.
We had the snow day, so
right.
They would have
correct.
Been present.
Very good.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah,
sounds like we got
and we got Cynthia.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, to a new relationship. all right. Oh, that was a toast. Okay.
Cheers.
There's no further discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Great.
And
Nay from Chris Mayville. Thank you,
okay.
Chris.
Thank you.
Okay.
What's your conscience?
We are on 10:03. I'm looking for a motion on the nomination of BOCES board members. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Chris. Is there
second.
A second? Nikki, thank you. Discussion.
Hey, I just want to make sure everybody realizes that this is, in fact, the vote for these members.
Right.
And they will be coming to the trustee.
Okay. I'm trying to get back in here, too. Sorry. Okay, no further discussion? All those?
Well,
yes, Judy, please.
We do actually have to fill in the names.
Oh. I can't open it.
There you go.
Thank you. So the Board of Education hereby nominates Ralph Chiamento and Ralph Coates for the two Board of Election, Board of Education vacancies on the Dutchess County BOCES. So that's the motion.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
And we have a
yes.
We have a motion here from Chris. We have a second from Nikki. And if there's no further discussion, I'm looking for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And all those opposed? Okay. And here we go.
Before we get to the report, I have one other.
Yes.
We had presented to you an MOA between a CSEA member and the district, Mr. Eastman, in regards to his service to us when he stood in as the director of student of facilities upon Mr. Roundberry's passing. Bob took the job and worked very diligently at it, filled in for us very nicely for a number of months until we hired our new gentleman over there. And he really lost out on a number of vacation days, and he's looking for the MOA so that we recognize that. And I think you've all seen the MOA.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for a resolution, so I'll do it.
I would like to move that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the board approves the memorandum of agreement between the Weebatuck CSEA and the district regarding the payment of vacation days to Robert Eastman.
Excellent. Looking for a second.
Second.
Thank you, Nikki. Is there any discussion?
No, we're grateful for his
yes.
Right.
Yes. We are grateful for his service and pleased to be able to approve this MOA. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. And we are on committee reports. And so you've heard a little bit about the facilities work. Judy, you saw the memo we received. We'll pass that on over to you.
Sure.
And any other board member who wants to see it.
Okay.
And then our negotiations update we will deliver in executive session, other than...
Yeah, just to the community that we are actively engaged in negotiations with the Teachers Association, and they're moving forward and working together. And that's as much as we can update at this point. CSEA has given dates, and I'll share them with the board. So they are also at the end of this year, and they are we're right on track where we need to be.
And just backing up to Facilities Committee, the Facilities Committee is interested in speaking and hearing more from Bill Wisbauer, the new architect engineer, about possible capital improvements and, of course, more on this septic project. So we expect that he's going to come see us in committee, and we will bring anything that happens in that committee back to you.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't think any of our other committees have been active lately. We've been there yet. We'll get back into it. So there's nothing else, I think, under committee reports, but we're still under Board of Ed, and I just want to take a minute to just, again, those flowers are from the board to Tracy in gratitude for her service as district clerk and
thank
for
you
all
you
do
much.
To make everything run really smoothly and really pleasantly, and really take so much off our plates by what you take on.
Thank you.
So we thank
too
you.
Much. Thank you. Very nice of you. Thank you all.
I can't believe Rick isn't here.
I know.
He's aware of them.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay. And so if there's nothing else right now under under Board of Education, then I am looking, we can open it up to public comment if there's anything else tonight. Okay. Thank you all for being here. I'm looking for a motion to move into executive session for the purposes of contract negotiations and
employment evaluations, and also potential needs.
Right, negotiations again. So again, thank you all. That motion?
So moved.
Nikki?
Thank you. I'll speak to you tomorrow, Emily.
Thank you.
You call
me? Really grateful to
you
both for coming.
You guys gave me a lot to write about.